Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a fantastic day and a fantastic Friday. Got a lot of stuff lined up for you guys today, and be sure to check out the Hagman Report tonight. I'll be on there with Doug. We got a lot of different stuff we're going to be bringing up, and so be sure to check that out along with the different specials that we'll be bringing on the show. And if you guys have seen it, you know, product of the week, the zinc glycinate formula on sale right now for over 20% off. Be sure to take advantage of that on the website as product of the week. And also, too, new product we brought back. We haven't had this in a long time, the potassium iodide with selenium. We have the potassium iodine, molecular iodine, which is a very advanced formula, more of a therapeutic dosage. And because of the fact it's molecular iodine, it's very, very good as far as for people that are having issues with thyroids. This is more of a supplement as far as a standard daily supplement with the potassium iodine with selenium you can take on a daily basis. Or if you have any issues as far as with radiation concerns, that product is going to be probably the best, most cost-effective formula to check out on there. So be sure to check that out at healthmasters.com. We'll throw that on the front page today so everybody can take a look at it. And, you know, one of the first articles I got to start off with is this is kind of a funny article, and I was talking to Rich about it before the show on here. In Canada, if you guys have seen this now, this is funny. So the Canadian clown world, they have now decided that, you know, because they can't have firearms up there. Most of the areas, you can't have any type of significant firepower weaponry, and you're very limited on your ability to
defend yourself. Very restricted in Canada.
Yeah, you're limited on how you can actually use your firearms as well. You know, it's not like Florida. They don't have stand your ground and stuff up there. Well, the Toronto Police Service now has gone on a segment because they're having such a string of carjackings and home invasions at the same time. Because people are actually going in, these robbers and these criminals are breaking into houses, doing home invasions and stealing car keys, and then running off with the cars. So the Toronto Police Service came out now and they told the citizens, the best thing to do is just leave your key fobs outside or in your car. That way, when the criminals come to steal your car, they can simply just grab the key fob and they don't have to break into your house. I kid you not. He said, criminals are breaking in your home to steal your car. They don't want anything else. You should leave your car key fobs at the front door because criminals are doing this. A lot of them are being arrested. They have guns. They're not toy guns. They're loaded. And essentially, you guys need to be careful of this. So it's easier just to allow them to steal your car instead of have a home invasion on top of that. How about when they do the home invasion, you just shoot them in the face with a 12 gauge? That seems like a relatively more effective strategy.
That's Polk County.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. We're talking about Canada.
Can't do that in Canada.
Clown world. Never mind.
You'll go to prison for life, if not death sentence in Canada. I don't think they have death sentence in Canada.
I'm just saying on death sentence in Canada. They can't kill anybody in Canada.
They can't even shoot a robber.
Robber in Canada.
Grady Judd was on the 97 Country this morning. They asked him about this, and he goes, yeah, don't do that in Polk County.
Yeah, no, don't do that in Polk County.
This is not that place.
Don't do it in Florida in general.
I mean, it's like you don't walk around like we mentioned the other day in Polk County, you know, in the middle of the night, at 2 o'clock in the morning with a flashlight looking at people's windows, if you want to stay alive very long. You have your life expectancies of the matter is if you do that to the wrong household, your life expectancy is a matter of seconds.
Oh, and especially in Central Florida.
Oh, just redneck world.
Well, that happened. There was an incident. I remember it wasn't too long ago. There was a family. It was like 6 in the morning. It was in Polk County.
Yeah, it was.
And they were like 6 in the morning, and they were all drinking coffee, getting ready for work. Then these guys decided they were going to do a home invasion, and they didn't realize everybody in the kitchen in the house drinking coffee all had concealed carry permits and were already loaded up for the day to leave the house.
They all died.
And the homeowners didn't die.
No.
The burglars would be home invaders. Yeah, they're DOA. They just brought them out in body bags.
And Grady Judd came on radio and said something like this, and I'm paraphrasing it. That's probably something you don't need to do in Polk County because he's given us sort of some kind of pseudo permission that they break in your house to come rob you or steal you or to destroy you to go ahead and use your 12 gauge and blow them back out of the house. I mean, those were his words, not mine, sort of in a paraphrase kind of thing. But I love Grady Judd. And so he gets on 97 Country, so I start saying, nah, it's just not cool. We don't do that here. And that's why nobody ever runs against Grady Judd for sheriff. He always is unopposed.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, he's such a public figure down here that it's crazy.
Can you imagine, though, what the vehicle insurance rates are going to start climbing in Canada?
Well, what'll happen is when you put the key fob on the front porch, they'll say that you intentionally wanted somebody to rob the car.
They're going
to
deny insurance claim.
Well, you're upside down of the car anyhow. So if you think, well, I owe $20,000 on it. It's worth five. Let the cop, you know, let the guy steal it. And what's going to end up happening is they're going to say, oh, by the way, they had your car stolen, so you don't have gap insurance on.
Yeah,
so now you
have
the rest, and so now you're dealing with a bankruptcy deal. And so now it just turns into a big mess. By the way, U.S. industrial production has seen a downward revision. You can't make this stuff up, Austin. In today's episode of the crap you believe in the past, it's not real at all. It didn't say crap here. It said something else. U.S. industrial production in January was rise from a 0.1% decline to a 0.5% decline. By the way, that's huge. That is a 10th monthly revision lower in the last 11 months. In other words, the statistics lie and lie and lie. Industrial production rose 0.1 MOM on Monday from that revised lower print, leaving the year-to-date change at 0.-23. I mean, this is crazy. Yeah, on the pure manufacturing side, production rose a tiny bit, but that, again, was from a badly downward revised January thing. So, in other words, what we told you the other day about how statistics are, like, wrong all of the time, this is just what they're doing to us. And it's crazy when you stop and take a look at this and you start looking at it. So, you know, it's – and then here we have another thing. U.S. immigrants are now leaving hospitals because they have no health insurance with billions of unpaid bills.
There you go.
So if you want to ask yourself why – these guys come to this country, pay no insurance, and then go to get the hospital. That's why when you go to the hospital for various reasons, the emergency rooms are full because they can't be turned down for lack of payment. And it's almost always immigrants that are coming in. Millions of illegal immigrants are flooding into U.S. hospitals for treatment and leaving billions in uncompensated health care costs in their wake. The House Committee on Homeland Security, how can you have a House Committee on Homeland Security when they have open borders? I don't understand any of this, Austin. Recently released a report illustrating that from an estimated $451 billion in annual costs stemming from the U.S. border crisis, a significant portion is going to health care for illegal immigrants. With the majority of the illegal immigrant population lacking any kind of medical insurance, hospitals and government welfare programs such as Medicaid are feeling the weight of these unanticipated costs. Now, I understand why Medicaid is feeling this, because these people aren't citizens of the United States. Why should our tax dollars pay for this? Just mentioning that. Apprehension of illegal immigrants at the U.S. border have jumped 48% since the fiscal of 2021. That's a total lie. And nearly tripled since the fiscal year 2019. Apprehension, no. Crossings, yes. According to Customs and Border Protection data, more data that they can lie over. Last year broke a new record for illegal border crossings. There you go. And there's the real numbers, surpassing more than 3.2 million apprehensions. In other words, they come to the United States, they touch the sacred ground of the United States of America, and they say, we are here. You have to go through an extradition process in the courts to send us home. So therefore, we'll be here for years while you're doing this. But in the meantime, please give me a $10,000 American Express card, give me a free cell phone, give me free housing, and give me a plane ticket that's open-ended jaw so I can go anywhere I want to go, and I have my court case coming up in 5 years from now, and I will see you then. Okay, and guess what? They never show back up. They, of course, why would they? They've got a job now. They've married. They've got an anchor baby. They've got all these other things going on. We've got some serious issues with the border. By the way, I want to cover this. We covered this yesterday, and I hadn't seen this until this morning. The Israelis lobby Motive promoting the TikTok ban. The Israeli lobby, AIPAC, is pushing this ban of TikTok. While the prevailing narratives surrounding efforts to ban TikTok in the United States has echoed the same appeal to preserve our national security that every landmark bill assaulting civil American liberties has used to veil its true intent, the initiative may be led by another sovereign nation. This would be Israel's, whose influence over American politics makes them much more qualified to be labeled a foreign adversary than anyone pushing the social media program. Much like the Patriot Act and policy, I'm reading you what it says. I'm not making this up, okay? Much like the Patriot Act, I don't make stuff up anyhow, but I may paraphrase it, but I'll tell you when I do. Much like the Patriot Act and policy making both foreign and domestic that has shaped the U.S. political landscape in the world, Israelis' ambiguous influence over American politics shows that Israel's fingerprints are so unsurprisingly all over the TikTok ban as well. Now think about that for a second. It's no secret that Israel is losing the information war over Gaza. Here we go. They're putting videos up on TikTok about Gaza. So Israel is losing the information war over the genocide in Gaza. I added genocide when it comes to Generation Z. By promoting a bill that divests existing parties from control over the app, the ban paves the way for a new consortium of ownership to come in and control the distribution of the information from TikTok. Now, you got to think about that for a second. Why in the world are they so concerned about that? Well, because this is information that is coming out that's telling people the truth about what's happening with TikTok, and they simply don't know, want people to know what's going on with TikTok, because the reality is that, you know, we've got a bunch of people now that are controlling the United States politics that are telling us now that we have to ban TikTok, and that they don't want them talking about what's happening in Gaza any longer. Now, you stop and you think about this. You go, well, that's an interesting twist of events. But then when you realize that Israel is a Rothschild fiefdom that was put together by the Balfour Declaration that is controlled by the international banking Rothschild cartels, and they also control the media, you begin to realize, hey, just wait a minute. Maybe something's not right here. And now they're going to come in pretty quick now and say that, you know, TikTok is going to be anti-Semitic. Just saying. That's what the narrative always goes to. Whenever somebody says something they shouldn't say about Israel, you're always an anti-Semite, which is kind of crazy to me. When you kind of read the news and go through it, you say, well, if you have all of these dual citizens from Israel or any other country and you call it out, why are you an anti-anything? Why can't you just be pro-American? That's my goal here, Austin. What do you think, bud?
Yeah, this is exactly what's going on. You know, and I've discussed this week in detail. The aspect of, you know, TikTok is trash. It's probably one of the worst social media
platforms. It's horrible.
What it's done, what it's promoted, what it's actually done with a lot of these trends has been horrible. There's no question about it. I'm not going to sit and defend TikTok. It's garbage. However, when you start reaching a point to where you have the ability, Congress has the ability to come in and start dictating what can and can't be looked at from a social media standpoint and what can and can't be said based on who owns it. The Chinese Communist Party is also trash. I have no fanfare.
Another Rothschild control.
Right. But, you know, it's ironic to me that they're talking about how security and this protection of the American population, yet we have DHS and NSA that dragnets the entire world's internet content, listens to your phones, watches your camera, literally puts every single bit of information, including your location, into different types of tracking software and aspects of your entire life into a data algorithm out in the NSA spy bank out in Utah, that data center out there. This is all just old information. You can look this up. That place got put up almost 10 years ago. It's one of the largest data collection centers in the entire world out in Utah. The NSA uses it. And so it's ironic to me now suddenly that this entire platform needs to be removed. And again, is TikTok good for society? No. I think social media has ruined half the world, to be honest with you.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, when you start allowing this concept to say, well, a foreign adversary is using social media, so we're going to ban them. What happens if they get on there and say, well, we don't like the information that's on Twitter. We're banning Twitter now. They come in there and say, we don't like what's on the Ted and Austin Brower show. They're foreign adversaries now because they supported something with Russia or something with another country or hasn't gone along with the narrative. We're banning that platform now. Mm-hmm. Now we're not going to allow you to have certain apps. So before, if we're talking about getting rid of certain things, well, why in the world isn't Congress putting together more aggression as far as trying to get rid of child pornography and child sex trafficking that's become unbelievably prevalent now with the southern border? Why hasn't any bill even been brought up, any funds, any direction, any allocation, anything? That topic never even gets talked about. Yeah, that's one of the most horrific incidents that's ever occurring right now, and it's expanding rapidly in the United States. Yeah, we're not going to talk about that. So again, what they're doing now, and this is just if you look back at the basis of it, they're trying to get a precedent in place through Congress, through the government, through a legal channel to have the ability to block, ban, censor, shut down, and remove any dissidents that they see fit in the future. And that comes all the way down to where they've said this. If this goes through, they have the ability essentially to remove the apps off iTunes and not allow them to be on your phone. That's a creepy precedent when you start having the U.S. government tell you what apps you can have on your phone when it comes to tech, especially when it comes to social media platforms. So, again, something to be aware of. Also, too, this is interesting as well. The FBI, speaking of invasions of privacy and continually monitoring and cracking down on free speech, the FBI and DHS now is partnering with gaming companies and forums to cut down on extremist gamers with conspiracy theories. Oh, yeah.
Gamers.
Oh, no. This is how far-fetched they're going now. They said the U.S. government is partnering with a number of gaming companies and social media platforms to clamp down on what they're referring to as extremist gamers. They're saying now the report is titled Countering Violent Extremism. There's that key phrase again. I talked to you about this last couple of years. Anytime they want to paint a picture over a group, they did this with January 6th. They've done it with Patriots. They've done it all over the place. They say violent extremists. That's the key phrase they use here now. Countering violent extremism, FBI and DHS strategies and goals for sharing threat information with social media and gaming companies, suggesting that domestic terrorists are using online platforms to spread conspiracy theories. That's how far-fetched we're getting now on how they want to go in and remove free speech. Now, am I saying there are good people on gaming systems sometimes that are talking about stuff? Sure. Are there also probably bad people on gaming platforms that are saying really raunchy things or maybe talking violent rhetoric? Sure. That's the concept and that's the platform of having open forums. People are going to say really stupid stuff. People are going to say really good stuff. Some people are going to say threatening stuff. At the end of the day, though, how far are we going to allow the government to turn into our Plato hand-holding family to sit there and tell us, oh, we have the ability to prevent you from being offended. We're going to stop violent extremism. Here's your Play-Doh. Here's your puppy. Sit in the corner. We're going to protect you. We want to make sure nobody says anything that hurts your feelings. That's what they're trying to use this concept for. And the problem with this is it goes really, really bad as soon as they start allowing – as soon as we start allowing them to control and dictate what people can and can't say on open forums.
Well, you know, the biggest thing and the safest place that they could do and put do anyway was just put them in prison.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really want to be protected, just have them put you in prison.
Yeah, there you go.
And you have guards around you all day.
3 meals a day.
You're locked up. You get to watch TV. You get to work out. You know, you get to hang out in prison all day. And of course, when you're just kind of violent in the shower, I guess, that'd be kind of a nightmare. But the sad part about it is that, you know, you're not going to be able to get out of the shower when you're in the shower. So every time you have these different layers of protection that are placed upon us, the one that ends up happening is you don't realize what you're involved with until you get into it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then once you're in it, you don't want to be in it anymore. And now the other problem with all that, too, is if you think about it, is that, you know, when you look at the world that we're in right now, we're kind of in a digital prison with digital bars.
Oh, they're expanding.
You know, and, you know, when you got, like you said, we have the NSA monitoring centers monitoring every conversation that we have. And by the way, hello, boys. Good talk. Yeah. And the FBI guys, some of you guys are really good, by the way. And CIA, you guys, you know,
suck.
Other than Benghazi, you know, I know we got some good CIA guys.
Yeah, whatever.
You don't want to be there either. A lot of you guys resign. And so, but, you know, but I
like ATF sucks too. You guys can quote me on that.
and so we've got all of this stuff going on here. So ask yourself a question. If you're involved with these agencies that like to basically, I guess, spy on everybody, where's your American red, white, and blue blood coming from for this?
Yeah.
Why in the world do you think it's okay? You know, we had this happen in World War II. People would say, well, we had the massacre of these civilians because we were ordered to do so. Or Lieutenant Callie in Vietnam, he massacred a whole bunch of people over there in Vietnam. He got in all kinds of trouble for it because he basically was following orders and was doing what he was supposed to do or doing what he was not supposed to do or whatever happened with over there. I don't remember. It's been so long ago. But the point is, there's a certain point, even when you're in the military, when someone gives you an order to follow, that's crazy. You know, you've got to follow it. Last night I was watching that crazy movie Battleship. It was, you know, this one with this, you know, this battleship, the USS Missouri is pulled out a mothball to fight an alien invasion. And everybody gets killed, and one of these lieutenants ends up being captain. He starts giving these orders, and the guy just looks at him. He was making a mistake. He goes, yes, sir, you got your orders. Let's follow it. That's the chain of command that's in the military. Finally, the big guy grabs the lieutenant, who's now the captain, and shakes him and says, there are men in the water. In other words, you can't do this. You've got to get the men out of the water. And he stopped. He changed the orders. He changed it to try to get the men out of the order, out of the water. Interesting movie. I really enjoyed the movie, by the way. But the point is this. Why in the world do we think that we have to follow things that aren't true or that aren't good? I mean, life is an interesting quandary that we have. You know, we know the things that we're supposed to do. We know the things that we're not supposed to do. And yet we still sit here and we try to quantify the good, the bad, and the ugly of what we do. And then we try to justify the good and the bad and the ugly of what we do. And yet we try to figure it all out. And we try to go, you know, who will deliver us from this? And, of course, that's going to be Christ Jesus. And the sad part about it is human beings have freedom of will. That's a pesky problem that we have. And I bring that up to talk to you guys who are in the military in these agencies that are spying on everybody. You've got freedom of will, too. God said that he's given you life and given you life in abundance. Why are you doing this? The same thing happened, you know, years ago when they told everybody if you wanted to maintain and keep your job, you had to get the COVID shot. Now, I got this. I got that a lot of you guys were threatened to lose your job. You weren't going to be able to support your family and feed your family. And that's the fear-based thing they did. And finally came back and said they can't do that. They can't force you to do that. But the reality is they're going to push this narrative as hard as they possibly can, even if you're working for them,
yep,
whenever they get a chance to do it. And it's crazy because, you know, it's like this. If you know something's bad for you, then why are you doing it? Here's a perfect example. Flint water crisis. This Clint's got a real bad problem with lead in their water. Flint water crisis led to a spike in children with special needs and a drop in school grades a decade later, according to research that likens the fallout from a disaster in Chernobyl. Special needs classifications rose 8% and math grades worsened. The Flint water crisis has resulted in all-time high numbers of children with special needs and poor performance in school. More than 12,000 children were exposed to toxic levels of lead in 2014 when the city switches public water source to the Flint River where the water is considerably more acidic. This led to corrosion in lead pipes. We talked about this in depth, which caused the city's tap water with lead and became contaminated with lead and then introduced it into the water supply. Lead exposure has been linked to behavioral and cognitive problems, mental illness, and underdeveloped brains. And this is what I told you years ago. I was talking to a captain on a cruise ship, and I asked him, I said, do you put, you know, chlorine in the water here. Yes. Well, how do you make the water? The water we have on the ship is distilled, but we put chlorine in to prevent bacteria growth. I said, you put fluoride in it. That's hydrofluorosilicic acid, by the way. And he goes, oh, absolutely not. He goes, that will eat the pipes and cause them to start leaking, and that's a real problem internally for a ship if the water starts leaking. And I said, well, that's true. So think about it for a second. Not only are they dealing with acidic water from the Flint River, they're also putting hydrofluorosilicic acid, which changes the pH of the water, which is extremely toxic, which is a rat poison, into the water supply. And we talked about it earlier this week with Teflon being a fluoride compound and all of these forever chemicals that are out there that are fluoride-based. There's that one, I forgot that one antibiotic that's a fluoride-based compound, and it causes tendon rupture. I mean, it causes the Achilles tendon to rupture. And so many people have been crippled because of this antibiotic, because it's a fluoride-based antibiotic. It'll kill everything, all right, including just during your tendons. And so always, I think it's called Cipro, but I'll look it up in a second. But the crazy part about this is that you sit back and you watch all this stuff and you go, wow, how is this happening? Then you look back and you go, America's 2023 drug deaths hotspots revealed. The CDC maps show how states where overdoses have risen in the past year and had your area fare. And then it shows all of the areas that are very lenient on drug use, like, you know, Washington and Oregon, you know, and they start seeing all these massive increases in drug use death, where a lot of these places have actually made it so it's illegal to do these drugs. Oregon had a 43% change upward. Washington had a 41% state. That's Washington State. Alaska, 35%. Nevada, 31%. Hawaii, 15%. And it goes on and on and on. But where they have made drugs legal, these rates for these deaths have gone through the roof. And then you start to realize that when you look at the same thing, you see the 100 most obese cities in the United States, according to a new study, that you start seeing a lot of the southern states and also people in Seattle, you know, and all the other places that have problems with health and all kinds of problems with obesity. But this is primarily a southern state problem. And you start realizing that these different cultures promote different types of eating, including high consumptions of pork products. So it's interesting to me. By the way, an Army medic, and this is something I've got to talk about, has basically been targeted after exposing a 973% surge in heart failure among Navy pilots. Let me say something to you. I was going to go into the Air Force years ago. You guys don't know about this. I'd passed the written exams. I'd passed the physical exams. I was in graduate school. They wouldn't guarantee me a pilot slot, so I didn't want to get put into an administration position. But I wanted to be able to go out and fly these fighter jets. This is something I've always wanted to do. I've flown several jets that were friends of mine. And it's a blast, by the way. But a United States Navy medic who blew the whistle on an explosive report showing a massive increase in heart issues among military pilots has been blocked by the Department of Defense from accessing his work computer. Navy Medical Service Corps Lieutenant Ted Macy, very, very, very brave man, shared shocking information about the surge in heart failure among military personnel. Macy claimed that the members of the U.S. military have experienced massive increase in heart-related issues, presenting Health Department, Defense Department data showing the following. Now listen to this crazy stuff. 937% increase in heart failure for Navy pilots. 152% increase in cardiomyopathy, 69% increase in ischemic heart disease, 36% increase in hypertensive disease, 63% in other forms of heart disease. And thousands of servicemen were treated with disrespect and fired because of tyranny, yet citing recruitment challenges as a reason. This could be the priority that diminishes the sentiment. In other words, these are statements about this. And so all of this stuff is because of the COVID shot, in my opinion. At least 95% of it. The responses to our concerns from the DOD have been memorandums, letters, as in a letter displaying how they confirmed the data. They confirmed the data, but said it was due to a COVID-19 virus. No, it wasn't. It was from a shot, even though all the heart issues started in 2021. I met with the chief of naval operations at her side. So far, the only response is that the DMED data has been sent to the Navy IG from the CNO's office, slow rolling everything that has been a norm, as well as denying anything is happening. That's what the government always does. The PETA principle is a perfect example of this. As layers of management increase, so does inefficiency. So we have these people finding out now that they have heart disease or having heart attacks, these Navy pilots. I mean, you know, it's already stressful enough. If you've got, you know, 40-knot winds, you know, you're landing on a tossing carrier at unbelievably high seas, and you don't know what to do as far as if you're going to be alive or not when you put the plane down on the deck. If it's going to – remember, this deck's going up and down. So you're landing on a runway that's moving. And all of a sudden now, on top of everything else, you start having massive increases in heart problems and heart attacks. This is an issue. And so this Navy stuff, now they're trying to cover it up. That's a real problem. Somebody texted me the other day, one of Mancow's friends, and said, they're telling me now that, you know, my COVID shot has worn off. I have to get more shots in order to maintain my job. And I said, he says, what should I do? And my response was, what are you even talking about? I mean, do you not read the data of what's happening to the people that have taken these shots? Why would you put more and more spike proteins into your body? So the answer is a resounding N-O with an exclamation point. No, just tell them no. I'm not going to do this. So if it is wearing off, Austin, and the spike proteins aren't doing their job anymore, that's a thumbs up. That's a good thing. What do you think, Austin?
No, the whole thing was a complete and total scam from the very beginning as far as what they kept telling everybody. The primary reason they need to do this is they got to keep people continually sick, and they got to continually make sure that Pfizer's generating revenue from the shot. This thing was a cash cow.
Eugenics.
You can't have continual revenue from a product that people only have to take one time and it works. Doesn't, you know, as far as when it comes to a drug intervention like this. And the truth about it is, if you've done enough research, you figure out real quick, this entire thing was built originally by DARPA in 2012 with RNA gene therapy. It never got rolled out because it was too dangerous and what it did to the human body. That's why when they did the ferret test in 2016.
Ferret cats, everything died.
They all died.
They all died of sepsis.
Yes. And we already know what this stuff does. So again, do your own research. I talk about it all the time on the show. We have lots of articles on the website to go into detail on with that. Also, to another news, this is a pretty cool article that popped up here. It was in the Epic Times, and it was discussing here how Graves' disease with the thyroid, what they call an incurable thyroid disorder, can be healed through lifestyle changes. This is what they say in this article here. And it was actually from a case report that's published in the National Library of Medicine. It says, healing of Graves' disease through lifestyle changes. A case report is crazy about it. It said, Graves' disease is known as a chronic and incurable disease. The typical treatment is basically medication, radioiodine, or surgery. These last two treatments are routinely offered. In a summary, though, a 34-year-old Dutch woman diagnosed with Graves' disease since 2014 implemented lifestyle modifications, which included dietary changes to an ancestral type of diet, oral health interventions, exercise, avoidance of environmental toxins by eating only organic, drinking filtered water, and using natural products to clean her house and personal hygiene, and supportive supplements. The patient did not take any anti-thyroid drugs or beta blockers during this period of time. After 6 months of engaging these lifestyle interventions, her thyroid analysis normalized and no antithyropin receptor antibodies were negative. And so this case report demonstrates that Graves' disease can effectively be put into lasting remission without conventional medical intervention. It emphasizes the importance of a healthy lifestyle as a first line of intervention for all patients. Now, this is something that's very interesting. So I've gotten this question a lot with thyroid issues and Graves' disease and all everything in between. And she goes on to say here in this case report, one of the first things they did was changing her diet and getting rid of all gluten products and also any type of soy and any type of corn products. Any processed food, refined carbs, gluten, corn, soy were all eliminated. She went on to go and pretty much as organic as possible, as natural, meaning wild fish, eggs, organic fruit, organic vegetables, so forth. And also, too, cutting out pretty much all processed foods. Anything that came in a box and a bag, you pretty much eliminate that. So that was the first thing she did in this study. The next thing she did was basically making sure she was using proper oral hygiene techniques and not using anything with fluoride in it. It's interesting. They talk about this in here. She went into detail how she went and started exercising and basically reducing her anxiety, increasing blood flow, getting her endurance and stamina and cardiovascular health. Because remember, the liver is the eliminating organ of the body. It removes toxins. It filters the blood. Well, if you're sedentary and you're not active and you're not getting proper blood flow and circulation, your body's not going to detoxify a lot of products that are a lot of compounds that are in your body. It's going to take a lot longer. So you're detoxing, you're eating clean, and you're doing good for your health. You got to make sure exercise is right there beside it. And then on top of that, they went in and looked at natural supplements, including products that help with adrenal deficiency and also to nutrients, including iodine, selenium, ironically enough, zinc, all the B vitamins, phosphorus and magnesium and chromium, and digestive support, including probiotics. The conclusion, the researchers studied more diseases and increased scientific research of alternative ways to alleviate symptoms like Graves' disease from a natural approach without surgery. So again, this is something that I've constantly tried to encourage people about. We also have a product called Thyroid Support that we have that can help out as well with individuals that are having thyroid problems. But always remember, a lot of these times when you're starting to have organ problems suddenly when you get older, the biggest thing to do is detoxifying the body, process of elimination when it comes to food, getting rid of the fluoride, getting rid of the chlorine, getting rid of the toxins, glyphosate, getting that out of your body. GHI Cleanse does a fantastic job of that as far as detoxifying, taking the right supplements and nutrients alongside of that, exercising, getting purified water, and basically looking and doing your own research on any other natural nutrients. Because it's funny, because we have a lot of these products already here. As far as in the world, nutrients, you know, high doses zinc glycinate, potassium iodide, all these different things that we have available. And then, but a lot of times people don't even want to take them. They don't want to research them. They just want to drink tap water loaded with fluoride, like you talked about with Flint. And then they wonder why they're having all these thyroid problems. That is one of the number one things that we always recommend, is getting on purified water, distilled water, if you're having thyroid problems, because of this stuff that's in the water, dude, it's horrific on the thyroid.
Well, you know, it's either this, it's how it works also. Either use a filter or be a filter.
That's exactly right.
If you put poisons through your body's got to filter.
It's got to filter them out.
You know, and so you end up poisoning yourself in the process. And that's why distillation is so important. I mean, just the other day I had a 11-year-old kid out here. I was talking to him, and he wanted to know about distilled waters. I pulled my distilled tank apart, and I showed him the calcium carbonate, how it builds up in the arteries.
Builds up a lot.
Turns stone in your arteries, hardening of the arteries. And I remember I gave him a piece of it, and I showed it to him. He goes, wow, I don't want to drink that kind of water anymore. And I said, well, if you don't drink distilled water, reverse osmosis water, and by the way, we have some of the best distillers in the world at our office. We sell them. We need to bring one of those ones and show people how easy it is to make water. And
yeah, we can actually do that. A lot of people are curious about how it works.
Do a little experiment here on the set. But you know, the reality is that, you know, when you don't have something purified, and Rob, by the way, regular, like a Brita filter, it'll take the chlorine out. It ain't taking fluoride out. It's not taking calcium carbonate out. It doesn't do that. That's why when I went on the cruise ship after I talked to that captain, I did bring a Brita filter, because the only thing they add is chlorine, which took the chlorine out, which prevented me from having to carry 16 gallons or whatever of distilled water and shit, which I've done before, by the way. You start have a whole cartload of water, because you start buying stuff on ships. You know, it's like, you know, well, we have a purified water. It's $10 a pint. How much would you like? I'm like, what's wrong with you people? It's water. You can drink tap water. You know, it's full of chlorine, but have fun with that. But I don't want to drink tap water. Well, then you have to bring your own water on board. So I did. And so then I started realizing it's just as easy to take distilled water on a cruise ship and run it through a Brita filter, because they won't use hydrofluorosilicic acid on their ships. This comes another article. 85-mile stretch in Louisiana known as Cancer Alley, which is right on the Mississippi River, sees rates of disease and birth defects up to 7 times the national average in its 1.5 million population. People and residents are now blaming their illness on pollution from the area's chemical plants. And I will say one other thing else. I'm not saying that the chemical plants aren't real there, because they are. But that Mississippi River, you know, which starts off in the very part of the north part of the United States, it's pretty clean. As it goes further south, more industrial pollutants and more industrial runoff goes into it until it turns into toxic sludge down there in Louisiana. And so, quite frankly, if you're in those areas, you really, really, really need to make sure that you don't drink the water, the tap water, ever. Now, another thing, too, be careful with this. A lot of times when you buy bottled water in a store, it'll contain chlorine. It'll contain fluoride added to it. It'll contain mineral solids added to it. Look at what the label says. That's why I don't trust the water in stores that I buy unless I can see the machine that's making it. Sometimes you can find a decent, you know, RO unit in a grocery store, and you can bring your own bottles and you can refill them. Now, I've done that before, and that works pretty well. It does. But then it's a big headache having to do that when you just make the distilled water at home and just sit there and just chill out and let it make it for you and not have to drive everywhere to try to get, you know, get it taken care of. But, you know, there's an interesting article here, and it says, what if we are wrong? It says, I often hear that the fallback position of many Christians when they come to defending their faith that sounds good and holy, but is that does not always fly as the truth. The Bible says a lot of things which are taken out of context and can be made to sound true. But sounding the truth and being the truth are not the same thing. Context is everything. Context is defined in the circumstances that form the setting for an event, statement, or an idea in terms of which it can be fully understood and assessed. You know, the Luciferian, synagogue of Satan, Kabbalist sect, loves to take statements someone said out of context and ascribe the statement to a meaning that was not at all what the person said. For instance, judge not is a statement that we often hear. We're pointing out where someone might be going and doing something wrong, but we're against our belief. But Jesus never said not to judge. He said, be careful how you judge. And, you know, also remember this. When you judge, think about what you're doing in your own life. You know, when we say things to other people, we've got to look at our own self and examine ourselves. And here's, again, what we talked about in this show already is freedom of will. You know, we all have freedom of will to do what we need to do. So if a parent doesn't want to homeschool their child because they can't for various reasons, you can't judge them for that. if a parent is scared to death for their child, as far as, you know, being in a situation they don't want them to be in, you really can't judge them for that. You have to try to educate them. But it goes back to what Austin just said a few minutes ago. You know, when people know the truth and they see the truth, then you got to ask yourself a question. Why don't they do what they need to do? Well, Paul said it this way in Romans. The things that I don't do, I continue to do. Yet the things that I know that I'm supposed to do, I don't do those things. Who will deliver me? And he says, praise be to Christ Jesus for delivering me from this. We all have this quandary we have to deal with every single day. We all have choices that we have to make. The question on the choices that we make is, what are they doing to us? Is it okay? How's it affecting other people? Remember, I ask you that question, you know, so many times on the show. What am I doing? What's it doing to me? And is that okay? So ask yourself those questions when it comes to drinking tap water. Ask those questions when it comes to eating foods that are infested with parasites. Well, you say, well, I'll eat my pork all the time. I don't care what you say. I'm going to cook it really well so I kill all the parasites in it. And my response is, okay, you're going to eat your pork with parasites in it, but you're going to cook them high enough temperature so you kill the parasites that you're going to eat. Did you get that? You know, the parasites don't go away. They just, if you get it high enough and you char it bad enough, I guess you could kill the parasites in it. I think it's like 600 degrees for trichina larvae. But now you're going to eat dead trichina larvae, and that's okay with you. Think through these choices that you're making. Like Austin was talking about the other day. Are you really going to eat a wild hog? I had an FDA meat inspector one time. He was working out of the gym many years ago in downtown Auburndale. And I'll never forget, he told me, he said that every time he's ever seen a hog cut open, it's always filled with worms. Okay? The same thing is true with pets. If you're going to have pets in your house and they're going to basically be part of your life, you need to be on a parasite cleanse on a regular basis, period. Especially with cats because of toxoplasmosis, and we've talked about that before. And be very careful with cat litter. Be very careful if you're going to have pets in your home. I mean, they're going to want to urinate in the house. They're going to want to defecate in the house. They're going to want to get on your bed. They're going to want to get on the couches. They're going to want to do all this stuff. Think through what you're doing, especially if you have children in the house, the young infants. Like this young girl that got infested with these parasites from this pig she apparently was hanging out with or whatever. I can't believe she was hanging out with a pig on that farm. Something else was going on with that. Somebody didn't wash somebody's hands or whatever. Because quite frankly, a small 2-year-old child doesn't need to be around livestock. They get killed very easily. So all of these things are true. And Coach is talking about this again. And so we've got to take a look at what people are doing. And we've got to take a look at what we're doing ourselves and ask ourselves, what are we doing? What's it doing to us? And is that okay? Another thing I want to talk about for just one second. I get these questions all the time. I've got to catch up on my emails now. But I get these questions all the time. You know, how do you have a good relationship with your spouse? How do you have a good relationship with a girlfriend or a boyfriend? And I always say it's this way. You know, intimacy is more than just a physical relationship. It's about, you know, holding hands. It's about talking, about spending time with each other. It's about nurturing one another, being with each other, loving each other, and just being part of each other's lives. You know, if you try to do it, if you're married, just with a physical relationship as far as with, you know, with sex, it's going to get really shallow, really old, really fast. It's the intimacy that promotes a long-term relationship. And people are always asking me, your wife passed away, but how in the world did you make such a good relationship for so long? And it's primarily because of the intimacy that we had. And so remember, always remember this. If you keep courting the person you're with like you did when you were dating them, even after you get married, it maintains a really close long-term relationship with that individual. So I get asked these dating questions all the time, so I thought I'd just mention that to you guys. But, you know, it's one of those things. Take care of yourself physically. You know, take care. You know, don't gain 100 pounds after you get married. Don't do that. Don't let yourself go. I'm talking to men and women now. Don't do stuff like that. Make sure that you're always a desired person from the person that you're with to make sure they always want to be with you. But I want to cover that this morning. And the other thing, remember this too. You know, 50% of Christians get divorced. It's like the world is actually higher than that now, unless they pray together out loud on a regular basis. Then the relationship, then it drops like less than 1% get divorced. Always pray together out loud with your spouse. Both parties pray out loud every single day. It's very important. I pray all the time. But the reality is that if you pray out loud with your spouse, it shares that intimacy again from a different level, from a spiritual intimacy. Really, really, really important. Also, what do you think, buddy? What's your next story?
This is another article that I saw here. This is something that's very interesting when I was reading about D3 again. There's more and more articles keep coming up about D3. I just found it here a second ago, and it said the essential guide to vitamin D deficiency symptoms, health benefits, and recommendations. And it's almost on a weekly basis now I'm having people. We talked about this earlier on the show, so I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this article again. You can go back and listen to some of the shows earlier this week. But it's almost on a weekly basis now I'm getting people emailing me, and they're asking me what to do about D3 deficiency. And I answer the same question the same way every single time, but I keep getting this question about how to fix it. And the answer is take supplemental D3 and monitor your blood levels. And what's happening is now, I think this is what's happening. I think a lot of people now are starting to realize how important it is to have proper amounts of D3 in your body, and more people are starting to get blood work, which is good. That's a positive thing because people are starting to realize how deficient they are in D3. And it discusses here in this article now, it's saying that approximately 50% of children, 50% of children ages 1 to 5 are D3 deficient, and 70% age 6 to 11 experience D3 deficiency. 70%, guys, that's enormous. Well, then you guys should ask yourself the question, why is this? And again, it's lack of supplemental intake, and it's because the younger generation now, especially in that age group, 6 to 11, they don't want to do much outside anymore. I mean, I know when I was, you know, 6, 11, I don't remember living inside. I was like an outside, just Floridian child. All I did was live on the lake or live in a tree or live on a bicycle. Like, all we did was run around all the time. And that's just what it was. You didn't come home by the time it starts getting dark outside and get some chow in and then go to sleep. And during the summer, the next morning, you get up and you're outside again. And so what's happened is now that's kind of stopped now, the younger generation, because they always want to be inside or on movies or on games or whatever, which I get it, it's this generation now. But again, that means vitamin D is crucial, because they're saying here in an article here, fatigue and mood changes are two key things they're starting to see now with vitamin D deficiency, especially in children. Another one they're seeing now is bone and muscle pain, and also lack of bone growth. Because remember, vitamin D3 is very, very important when it comes to actually calcium absorption, leading to decreased calcium levels in the blood. They said specifically, insufficient vitamin D limits the body's ability to absorb only 10 to 15% of natural calcium, whereas the normal vitamin reserves absorption typically ranges from 30 to 40%. And so again, they're showing here, the lower the D3 level, especially in children, when you have the issue with rickets, and you have the issue with bone growth, and you have the issue with overall growth and growth hormone production, it becomes a problem. So make sure these kids are getting adequate D3 on a regular basis. For adults, the 10,000 K2, that's what I recommend. And it's funny because I've had people so many times go and say, well, my doctor said 10,000 IUs a day is too much with K2. It's too much D3. And I said, okay, what's your blood work coming in at? Bodily hasn't tested it. Okay, so you're telling me 10,000 IUs of D3 a day is too much, but yet you don't even know what your blood levels are, and your doctor's telling you it's too much. You said the recommended dosage is 800 IUs a day. And then invariably, I've had this happen multiple times. They'll contact me a month later with blood work and say, yeah, I got my D3 tested. It's a 17. I'm extremely deficient in D3. And I said, okay, newsflash, that's a problem. Start taking D3 on a regular basis. The 10,000 IU, I take it on a daily basis, and my D3 stays in the 50 range. I told you before, Lana had to run 20,000 IUs while she was pregnant with the last child to keep it in the 40 to 50 range. And I wanted a little bit higher than that. And so we were bumping up and changing the dosage here and there. We're not in the 1940s and 50s anymore, where everybody lives out at the beach or goes outside and walks everywhere, rides horses everywhere still, or, you know, is in, you know, cars very small amount of time, and they're not inside with all these lights and computers. That world doesn't exist. So again, another reason why it's so important to make sure the children are getting adequate D3 in their bodies so they can reduce fatigue, make sure they maintain overall mood health, and on top of that, making sure they have proper bone growth and overall tissue health and growth as they get older. Because again, this is becoming a serious problem that I'm seeing here now, Dad. And this article, again, is addressing the fact that over 50% of children between ages 1 to 5 are D3 deficient, and 70% ages 6 to 11 experience vitamin D3 deficiency now in 2023. That's a serious problem.
Well, kids need to get sunshine, period. And the crazy thing, too, is when you take D3, you need to have it with K2.
Correct.
Because you use high dosing of vitamin D with, you know, without K2, you're going to have arterial calcification. That's what happens. The K2 stops that. And so you got to be very, very careful. And I also tell people this. If you're going to be taking D3 on a regular basis, get your blood tested every 3, 4, 5, 6 months. Really important. Get it monitored in so you know what you need to take. Don't be just taking large dosings every day and not get it tested. And I mentioned this earlier this week. I can't tell you how many people that I've spoken to who've had cancer who called me up and said, I have this cancer this doctor's told me about, and I always ask them the same question. What are your D3 levels?
Yep.
And I've not had one yet tell me that I can remember that it was basically this or that. They're always saying, we don't know. They haven't been tested. And I'm like, well, could you ask your doctor?
Isn't that crazy that the doctors are diagnosing with this stuff and they don't even bother to check their D3?
Well, it's true. And the other thing, like the D-dimer test, you know, it's a clotting thing, D-dimer. you know, people now are having all kinds of problems with D-dimer being elevated because of the COVID causing blood clots.
Yep.
But they won't test D-dimer unless you have, like, some type of autism, some type of, you know, lightheadedness or whatever, and then they want to send you to a specialist when it's just a simple test to test for. So all of these things, when you think through it all, are basic tests that should be included with every blood profile. They really should. But the problem is they don't do it. And why is it – think through this with me for a second. Just let's go – let's put on a conspiracy mindset for this. And I'm not saying this is accurate. I'm just saying this is speculation gone wild. You've got a group of people that run the planet that know that D3 levels are very, very important. Why would they want you to have high 3D levels? Why would they want you to have high D3 levels that help prevent cancer? I'm asking you that question. They don't. So they're going to give you sunscreen. They're going to do geoengineering. They're going to tell you to walk in the sun with long sleeve shirts on and basically have an umbrella. They're going to do all kinds of things. They're going to tell you how bad skin cancer is and how easy it is to get, when they don't tell you that really, if you have the right nutrients and antioxidants in your diet, you have a very low risk of skin cancer. But they tell you basically, you avoid the sun, avoid the sun, avoid the sun. You don't need D3, you need 800 IUs a day, which they know is not going to do anything. And the vast majority of people still don't take even that much. And so I've had so many people get tested, and they tell me that the D3 is like under 10. Sometimes they say, well, they had no reading on it. Well, if that's a principal component of the immune system, how in the world is your immune supposed to work without it?
It won't.
It won't. And you know, and there's another article that says, how to live to be a centurion. And it says, it was interesting. And it was saying, after you get past the age of 80, it said the main thing that matters as far as living longer than that is your DNA. You know, now, you know, we got with epigenetics. I mean, if mom and your dad died at 30, you know, you make it to 60 or 70, you better be really careful with your diet and basically change the right kind of lifestyles. And it says here, interesting, it says what you got to do is eat plenty of red and purple foods, like reddish purple sweet potatoes, not regular potatoes, and salmon. And that would be the wild-caught salmon. These brightly colored foods contain powerful antioxidants that help protect us against disease and stroke, including a lot of copper in them. But you don't need too much copper because it's toxic. Numerous animal studies have shown that calorie restriction, if done while eating a nutrient-rich diet, is linked to longer life. That's a fact. And recent research suggested this is also true for humans. The idea that it might work, at least as part, is activating your different genes. It's made for longevity. And I'm going to just talk about this for a second, because back in Okinawa after World War II, they had a lot of people were having to live on 1,700 calories a day. And so now a lot of these guys are living to be 100 years old. It's crazy. One of the longest life expectancies in the world is in Okinawa. And the reality is overeating is one of the primary causes of aging and one of the primary causes of heart disease and dying very young. So I do it this way. I watch my caloric intake throughout the day. I try to stay at around 1,800 to 2,000 calories a day. Now, a lot of you say, well, that's really low. I maintain my weight pretty well at that. And I also learned that if I eat too much in the morning or in the afternoon, I just cut back at night. And so I try to maintain that, and I get on the scales every single morning, and I write it down on what I weigh, and that allows me to monitor my dietary intake of different foods. So if I'm up a pound or so, I look at it on the day. And now a lot of people, well, I'm not looking at the scales. They get me depressed. Okay. Who told you that? I'm just asking you that question. Who gave you that bad information? You know, and then other people say, well, you know, I cycle my weight. I'll gain 20 pounds, and I'll lose 20 pounds. And so what happens is when you lose the weight, you also lose muscle weight. And when you lose muscle weight, it decreases metabolism, because every pound of muscle that you lose, you drop about 50 calories a day in your basal metabolic rate. And you also have insulin receptors to the muscles that you lose. So the muscle weight loss is permanent. The fat loss is temporary. So every time you do that, you gain fat back, lose muscle, gain fat back. Pretty soon your metabolism is all messed up. Now you have to eat less and less and less, or you start gaining weight back. It's a bad cycle to be on. It's better to maintain your weight and stay within 2 to 3 pounds of where you need to be and just monitor your food intake. Very, very simple. Plus, take your supplements. That's what it says here, a calorie-restricted diet on a high nutrient density intake. And that's the only way you can do that on a calorie-restricted diet, is you have to take supplements. Because without the supplements, the food is so processed, you can't get a high nutrient density. Now, if you go out to a restaurant every once in a while and you get something really good to eat, like last night I had salmon at a really good restaurant in Winter Haven. It was excellent. And I enjoyed it. It was really, really good. You know, I had a friend with me, and she was basically, she had halibut. It was very good, too. And so the truth is this. If you eat high-quality food, even at a high-quality restaurant that uses a lot of organics, you're going to get pretty good density of food. But it still doesn't give you a high enough nutrient density to maintain health without adequate supplementation. It just doesn't happen that way anymore because of the way the food has been processed and because of the lack of rotation of our crops. So always make sure you take at least our powdered multiple. We had that up here the other day, and we were showing it to you guys. You guys love it. is one of their best-selling products because you don't have to bother worry about swallowing a pill. And by the way, I don't like swallowing pills either. I do it every day because I know the importance of it. But the powdered multiple helps to stop all of that stuff. So always remember, if you want to live long, you've got to start making healthier choices when you're younger. But it's never too late to start making healthier choices. It always, as long as you're still having ATP production in the mitochondria, as long as you're still alive, you can start eating healthy. They've seen people that are in wheelchairs. They start using resistance training in their 70s and 80s, and they find out now they're out there playing softball again because they're doing resistance training. So always exercise at least 3 to 4 days a week for at least an hour each time or even 30 minutes. Something will do something. Anything will do what you need to have it to do. But don't sit around and just sit in a chair all day. And that's the problem, Austin, that you talked about earlier, because everybody's so sedentary, and they all sit around
inside.
Yep. They don't get outside. They don't get any sunlight. And that's one of the reasons that these children now are becoming so sick, so young, because they don't eat food. They want to eat, you know, Hot Pockets or some junk food, you know, without any vitamins, without any nutrients, and they want to sit around and play video games all day, and they don't want to get out and eat clean. And you try to talk to them about it, and they don't listen.
Well, a lot of it, it stunts their mental and physical growth as well, because the fact is, you know, being outside, engaging in certain types of activity, it helps the brain develop more. Especially if there's something we talked about, and I learned this in childhood psychology, is children are designed to have essentially the reward status of being able to accomplish something and feel that reward status in the brain as they continue to grow and they develop and mature. Meaning, for example, they're outside working on a bicycle ramp. Just something like that. They're digging a hole and they're building a bicycle ramp. They get a bicycle ramp. They jump their bicycle and they've now successfully built a bicycle ramp. Or they're working on a tree fort. Or they're working on something. The human body, especially at a young developing age, is designed to actually be involved hands-on and accomplish certain things. And it's very important for development. The problem is when a lot of these kids no longer have that, because all they continually get is that dopamine reward, trigger from all the social media, from the video games. And I mean, it's a whole host of things online because it's super quick, easy dopamine. There's no risk associated with the ward. You're not out there for an hour in a shovel building a ramp. You're not out there putting, you know, a fort together. You're not out there having to try to accomplish something. It's just, oh, I swipe here, swipe there, dopamine. And what happens is these kids get so used to it that when they actually have to engage in something that's truly productive, they actually have to have an actual step in something to accomplish something, they simply don't want to do it. Because it's too much work and it's too much risk and there's no reward to it because they actually have to have delayed gratification. That's a very, very big problem we're starting to see now in younger generations in psychology. And I talked to one of my friends about it as well.
What it does, it literally builds pathways in the brain.
Correct.
Okay, that continually cycle. And so it's like, I wanted my dopamine triggers. I know when you were young, you used to play video games and I saw it was getting out of hand. I put a stop to it. Same thing with Harrison. You know, I always limited that
Correct.
Stuff. And then when I saw that it was getting out of hand, I would always stop it and say no. Finally, I said no more. We're done with it because I don't want to deal with it.
And this. That was back to the old gaming systems like Nintendo 64, which, I mean, they were like watching a potato game. I mean, the graphics and pixelation was horrible. Now they got this stuff, you know, with these giant –
Immersive.
They got the virtual augmented reality now with these goggles and everything where these kids really
feel like they think they're in it.
When it does. I've seen some of this stuff before. It literally looks like you're in virtual reality. It looks like you're in the world. So what that does to the brain, it hardwires and rewires the entire brain as far as on how it perceives things and how it develops and how it grows and how it analyzes everything. It's definitely an interesting world.
And that's how habits develop, too. It's hardwiring Correct. The brain. You literally groove the brain. I mean, you can't say you groove it, but you actually develop a hardwire circuit that always triggers. So you get depressed, now you want to take, you know, an antidepressant. You get depressed, now you want to go get drunk. You get depressed, you want to go out to a nightclub and party.
Yep.
You get depressed. And so what happens, you trigger yourself all the time. Instead of taking nutrients like, you know, B-complex and 5-HTP and, you know, omega-3 fats to help maintain brain health, you want to trigger it.
Well, and that's one of the biggest factors that I've learned with, especially with individuals that have been having issues where they're trying to detox off of nicotine and quit either smoking or smokeless tobacco, is that a lot of times people associate, when they hit that dopamine trigger from the nicotine, they have it associated with certain things. They get done with a meal, they go smoke a cigarette, or they throw in a dip. So what happens is every time they eat a meal, they immediately get that craving because the body's hardwired to crave that every time that event occurs. They could do a certain event, they go to a movie, they go here, they want to have that. And that can be with any topic. And that's one of the reasons why nicotine, which is so addictive, is such a hard thing to quit because it's so readily available. Now you've got these vape pens that I told everybody about that have become an epidemic now here in the United States with younger kids. I talked to a friend of mine the other day. His son, he's got a stepson, he's got suspended from high school. 16 years old, just got suspended from high school, got caught with another nicotine vape pen in school. They say it's becoming, he said it's becoming so prevalent in high school and middle school with nick pens now. I'm talking 10, 11-year-old kids with these nicotine pens that they literally have stacks of papers of write-ups now that they have to have full files
well,
on.
Well, I know with the kid here recently, he was basically in a bathroom, using the bathroom. So the kids got were in there running vapes, nicotine. Yeah. And they came in and busted him, and they thought he was involved with it too.
Yeah.
So he wasn't doing anything.
No.
He was just using the bathroom.
It's becoming so prevalent now, and it's an issue, you know, because the problem is you only have to be 18 to get this stuff. And nicotine has been so downplayed now with these vape pens that nobody really fully understands how addictive this compound is.
Oh, the manufacturers do.
Oh, they do. They know exactly what it does. This isn't
like heroin.
We're smoking an old natural cigar on an occasion like some people do as far as when they want to go chill out. You're talking directed synthetic nicotine in unbelievably high doses that's readily available that you're hitting all day long. This stuff is unbelievably addictive. And when these kids now, I talked to a kid of mine that was doing some videography for me, and he brought a friend with him that was helping him shoot some of the videos for some vehicles we were marketing for. And the kid that was with him had one of these vape pens. And he told me he was on the baseball team. He's 19 years old. And he said he can't quit it. I said, that stuff's really addictive, dude. He goes, well, I know. Because I started when I was 16 in high school. He goes, I've tried to quit. He goes, the problem is every time I quit, I get around some of my other friends, and they have these pens, and as soon as I see them, I get these unbelievable cravings.
Bad company corrupts good character.
You probably need to analyze your friends. He goes, the problem is, Austin, he goes, every single person that I know now in my age bracket uses these. And I'm like,
he needs to get some new friends.
That's a serious problem. But no, but when you start having 60, 70, 80% of the population are using these things
now. Well, the cigarette manufacturers, nicotine manufacturers. Again, who ask yourself a question. Who owns these companies?
Yep.
Who owns them? Okay. And you start going back and you're looking at them and you go, well, they want to have a product that's going to be addictive, a legally addictive stimulant. That's what they want. And so if you're 18 years of age, I guess in some states, that's how old you have to be to use this stuff. They want you to be addicted to it because it massively increases revenue. It's crazy how it works. The sad part about it is that we're not going to be able to do anything about that because they've tried to do that back in the 70s by getting the commercials off the TV. But now they're basically giving all these different flavors. And the social stigma with having a cigarette hanging out of your mouth isn't that anymore, but they go hide in the bathroom with other people that don't vape, and I've got to use bathroom. Like I told you the other day, every 30 minutes, every 45 minutes, every hour, in bathroom, got to go bathroom, got to go bathroom. You're like, what's wrong with your bladder? It's not the bladder. They're hitting the vape. They're hitting the nicotine. Hit all the time, and it's going to massively increase the risks of cancer and different types of disease.
And cardiovascular problems. Yeah, man. Nicotine's vasoconstricting. Always remember that. It constricts the blood vessels. That's one of the reasons why it gives you the head rush when you take it. So it's very, very, very detrimental for young kids, especially athletes at a younger age, because the developing cardiovascular system is still growing and expanding when they're teenagers. When you start putting this stuff in your body, not only are you triggering that aspect of addiction, you're not doing good stuff for the body. So again, thank you much for the support, my friends. We ran out of time. Really, what time it was already. We've got all these topics going on. If you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us. Healthmasters.com. We're here to help you out the best we possibly can. Be sure to take advantage of the zinc glycinate on sale right now. There you go. For Healthmaster, over 20% off. If you guys need anything, give us a call. And be sure to check out the Hagman Report. Got a really cool show that put together for everybody on there. Went into some details, especially what's going on now with the Haiti problem that's coming to Florida very, very rapidly. Everybody needs to be ready for this. So, again, thank you for the support. Healthmasters.com. If you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us. You guys have a fantastic, safe weekend. We'll talk to you again on this show Monday, as always.
And always remember, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus all the days of your life. Always do the best you can. God will take care of the rest. I love you guys. I really appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.